I'm Van.
I'm Sori.
That's Booby.
And Vita and Chip and Culpy.
Carcass. It's a picture on pick. Which group is this?
Look, guys, I'm in the king's chair. My back's been hurting, so Vinny, let me have the good one.
Don't touch me.
Why?
Which group is this? Which Patreon alliance is it? You know?
I don't know. You'll have to move your hand so I don't touch you.
Okay. Which group was it?
I'm checking. The Extreme Underground.
Oh, okay.
A new group has formed. Oh, this is cute. Did you read this?
The system by which this song came about is an interesting one. It goes as follows. One member is chosen randomly. Their task is making a playlist of their favorite songs. They want to get reviewed by you guys. Members of the Alliance vote on those songs. No matter what song wins, that member gets one of their songs done. It's an ingenious idea and one that has gotten a lot of traction. Well, there you go. The Extreme Underground. That's kind of smart.
Yeah.
Who runs that one?
I don't know.
That's actually pretty good.
Honestly, Leah knows more about this Patreon system than I do.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to reach out to her the other day and be like, can you tell me how our Patreon system works?
So, so there you are. If you, $1 gets you on the Patreon train, then you get to join an alliance. That's probably the best, most systemic way of getting a song done, in my opinion. But, never fear! If you're not a Patreon person, that's okay. Go to the website.
Right.
And the website, the last 2-3 songs that we've done have been website picks.
Yep.
So, go to the website if, And
you can put one song per day. You can vote once per day. So.
Yep. And so there you are. All right. So let's go. Carcass, Heartwork. Let's do it. Wait, let me get my thingy on. We've never done this band before.
I don't think so. Yeah. All right. Ready? Go.
Spell out in your vehicle, in your dreading. Guide the pain.
Sexual. We've never heard of that band before.
No.
So.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I didn't like the beginning when it first started out. I was like, oh my gosh, really? I'm being pushed on a conveyor belt, that thing.
Yeah, it started
so fast.
Yeah, you hate that. I hate that.
And then once it got into it, like, I liked what it's... Where is it? Hold on. Let me just bring this to minute 144, like, was where you were kind of hearing it. I liked what they were doing. I just liked what they were doing instrumentally there. Vocally, I couldn't get into the vocal sound this time.
Okay.
But I liked the instruments, like, so... Aside from the beginning, all the instruments I thought were great, but the vocal, I couldn't get into the vocals. And I don't know what we were singing about.
It seems like he's talking about art. It's talking about...
Works of art was the first three words.
Right. Well, notice the name of the song is Heartwork.
Yeah.
Well,
Artwork.
Artwork instead of heartwork, so it's art that comes from your heart, basically.
Yeah.
He did a Danny Phil thing. You know how Danny will sometimes make up words?
Yeah, yep.
So, magniloquent. That's not a real word. I'm pretty sure that's not a real word. But I'm assuming it's a...
magnificence and eloquence put together.
Or malignance and eloquence put together.
Malignance?
But, yeah. You know, like if something's like malignant, it's like bad.
Yeah.
So, but it's also eloquent at the same time. Let me Google.
Oh, that would be cool.
Let me see if that's actually a word.
Yeah, that would be cool.
No, it's an actual word. Using high flown or bombastic language.
The word itself is.
That's smart.
Yeah.
Works of art painted black, magniloquent, bleeding dark, monotonous palette, murky spectrum, grimly unlimited. So, if the assumption of the song, which is from the title, obviously, is that your art comes from your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So then when he talks about painted black, bleeding dark, monotonous palette,
yep,
murky spectrum, grimly unlimited. So I think what he's saying is like that's where his art comes from, his heart, but it's almost monotonous in the sense because his art is dark.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a dark art, if you have a dark heart, then you can only paint in one color,
yeah,
basically in the
There's
spectrum.
There's limited shades.
Right, the spectrum is limited.
Yeah.
But you can talk about anything from that perspective. So in that sense, it's grimly unlimited because there's no shortage of bad things to talk about.
Right. Yeah.
So it's unlimited in that sense, but I think at the same time it's still kind of limited if you're the type of person that only talks about like negative or dark,
yeah,
subject matter.
Yeah.
So I thought...
That's exhausting to be like that all the time.
I bet. It seems to me that's a good moment of self-awareness, because I don't think, mm-hmm, he's saying it's necessarily a good or a bad thing, but I think he's talking about... That's what's going on with him, per se, and maybe metal as a genre as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see like the. I've never seen a record where the entire arch of the human experience is like really looked at.
Mm-hmm.
Like love when it's good. Most of the time when you hear metal, it's love when it's bad.
Yeah.
There is a couple Nothing Else Matters and things like that, mm-hmm, but for the most part, it's love when it's bad or when something's going
when
bad.
It's complicated.
So you don't see a lot of rainbows in metal,
mm-hmm,
as far as a record goes.
Yeah.
Food for thought, so prolific in contrasting shades, fourthly fret, abstraction, so choking, so provocative.
Is that what he's saying that the art does?
I think he's saying...
It gives you food for thought?
Right. Right. But at the same time, he's saying you're forcefully fed this art to some degree, because was this 1993? It's even more true now, but you had MTV, you had the radio, and so,
yeah,
like it's you know, and then one record labels get successful with this type of artist,
yeah,
and then all of a sudden there's 10 copycat bands, which is what happened with nu metal. Nu metal happened because Korn like got blew up like crazy.
Yeah.
It looked overnight, but it really wasn't. But and then you immediately saw 50 bands that were just like Korn using that same stupid blind riff.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point you're forcefully fed that stuff because it's the same thing over and over again because the record label wants to promote a certain type of sound because that record label scored with that band.
Yep.
So it's a really interesting because the first stanza is like, okay, like this is what's going on in my heart, you know, this is what's going on, and then it's the effect of
that
on the public, I think.
Society, yep.
A canvas to paint to degenerate dark reflections, degeneration. A canvas to paint to degenerate dark reflections of dark foul light.
So he's saying the art that he does is a reflection of darkness or degeneration within himself. Dark reflections, like you have a mirror,
right,
that reflects what's visually on the outside of you, but this is...
That's always the conversation when you bring up negativity in hip-hop.
Yeah.
You'll say, hey, that's really dark, or that's really evil, or it's terrible, or you're glorifying violence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big thing we heard growing up. You're glorifying violence and all this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the typical response was, I'm talking about what I'm seeing.
Yep.
So, but then what happens is the counter argument was like, yeah, you're seeing that, but you're talking about it in a glorious way.
Which makes that
happen more. Then it goes into the minds of the people that are watching you and then they start to.
Yeah.
So there's like this circular form of degeneration, which is true.
Right. Yeah.
It's true. That's, of course, at the time, like, I didn't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But the music I listened to absolutely propelled me to do things I otherwise wouldn't have done.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because when we were about to do certain things, I would listen to certain types of music to get myself. And even outside of the ghetto world, in other situations when it was time to do things, everybody had their ritual, and one of mine was to listen to certain things before, and a lot of people were like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very interesting conundrum, which is like, is art simply, you know, art imitates life, you know, is a phrase, and so is art simply a reflection of what's actually going on, or does art actually influence the negativity that it purports to report?
Depends on the person, because sometimes making that art helps you to come out of that negativity.
That's also true.
It really just depends on how it's affecting you, because it can go one way or the other.
There is a line where Jay-Z basically said something to the effect of, you sold drugs because I rapped about selling drugs, but I rapped about selling drugs so that you wouldn't sell drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but at the same time, he financed his record label with his drug money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like,
yeah, but that's how he knew to make music about not wanting someone else to do that.
Yeah, but it's one of those situations where it's like, you already made your millions, so it's easy for you to say that after you've made your millions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it'd be like, you'd be like, you know, like I robbed 50 banks, and then from that I rented out a bunch of homes. So I'm like, hey, you don't have to do that. There's different ways you can rent out homes like me. It's like, yeah, but
The way that you got to that point was
so it's like, I will rob banks and then build homes too. You know? And of course, the other side of that, you know, Jay-Z is an extremely intelligent man.
Mm.
So there's things that he can do and get away with that other people can't.
Right.
You know? I've seen certain dudes in... Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. But yeah. Okay. So yeah, it's a very interesting, and you know, the church has always had a very interesting relationship with artists.
Mm-hmm.
There's always been sort of this love-hate relationship with art and artists, and I think it's for that reason, because art is such a deep reflection of the human soul.
Yeah.
That, hello, David Toussaint, appreciate you, buddy.
I worked at a hospital, so like HIPAA violations and stuff. Like, you just saying out people's names. I'm like,
the guy just flashed across my screen. I don't think he'll be offended. If he is, there's ways he can solve that problem, believe me.
Right.
But I think that, you know, like I said, the church has always had a very interesting relationship with artists, and of course, our perspective is that the human heart is by default dark because of sin.
Yeah.
And so whatever we express is going to have a tinge of darkness in it. Because now that's native to our nature. Mm-hmm. And so, but then there's a line where the church has said, yeah, but now this art is beginning to corrupt people. So, like, for example, you look at Michelangelo's David. Michelangelo's David, it's a naked man. I mean, it's very graphic. All right, have you seen Michelangelo's David?
No.
It's basically a man at the peak of his physical powers. Mm-hmm. And he's completely naked. But it's not done in a... It's just, this is a pinnacle of manhood. And so that art is like, oh, that's really good. And then you have other people who display naked bodies, and the church is like, that's terrible.
The church was okay with the David stuff?
Yeah. I mean, it's Michelangelo. You know, a lot of Michelangelo's art, people were kind of like naked a lot because he's trying to portray man in his like natural essence.
State, yeah.
And, you know, and how he relates to God and things like that. Like, you know, that picture with
yeah.
the, you know, like, so it's like,
it's weird because I had a different experience with all that stuff growing up. Like, I don't know that anybody said, oh, art is bad, but I kind of got that idea because, you know, music was limited, right. Instruments were limited, and then even art itself, like painting art or whatever, there was always this, like, if there's anything that's naked,
right,
don't
so,
look.
So your,
like, a lot
your
of this.
Family would not have been cool with Michelangelo's
name. No, yeah. No, because I remember seeing, like, at, I don't know, like, going to a nursing home or something like that, and they had, like, some of that art that was, like, painted
up.
The
Sistine Chapel
like,
stuff.
Like, some of this,
yeah, yeah.
You know, stuff up in there. And, like, I remember, like, you know, family members being like, don't look, just keep your head
right.
straight. And
right.
so it kind of, like, makes this whole, like...
Right. Fear.
Yeah, and then finally, when I got old enough and actually did see it, I was like, seriously?
Well, yeah. But it's very interesting because art is so subjective, and the response is, well, yeah, well, Michelangelo's David's classy. It's not pornographic. And then you have other forms of art where people are naked, and the church was completely against it. It's like, well, they're both displaying the human body.
Maybe
but the response,
maybe they're looking at it like depending on what it engenders in the majority. Like,
well,
is it like, whoa, this is like telling something, or is it like...
Well, I think... Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Well, it depends on what the goal of the art... Like, for example, Michelangelo's David was to present the beauty of the human body and the power of what it means to be a man in the glory of God, right? Because Paul mm-hmm. says that man is the glory of God and the woman is the glory of man, or whatever. And so it's like... His intention was to display God's glory through the beauty of the human body.
Mm-hmm.
Or that was his stated intention. But if you have a woman that's like completely naked and her nakedness is being used to call attention to eroticism.
Right.
Where so for example, if you tried to get an erotic moment out of looking at Michelangelo's David, I'm sure this happened probably millions of times, but an argument could be made, well, that wasn't Michelangelo's intention.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you look at a picture of a pornographic picture and you get an erotic moment from that, you'd say, well, yeah, that was the
poem. Intended purpose. Yeah.
And so then mm-hmm. it becomes, okay, so it's good nakedness if the intent is to glorify God, and it's bad nakedness if the intent is to elicit, you know, sexual feelings or whatever. And it becomes very murky.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think, you know, he talks about that. And I think all of us have, like, lines. Everybody has lines. I mean, the church, obviously, because, you know, they had a lot more power back in the day. The church had more power to suppress art.
Mm-hmm.
But even today, it's kind of like everybody has lines. Like, even in regular, you know, nationally syndicated TV, there's a whole slew of words that you can't say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the FCC will go after you. Well, that's
yeah.
all subject. There's no objective line of...
Right.
There's some shows that we've shot that can't be put on, you know, regular, you know, because
right.
I said, fuck.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
right.
but I feel like if it's a well-placed fuck, and the fuck is you know, we're watching Lone Survivor.
That's exactly
and,
what I was just thinking.
You
I'm
know,
like Lone Survivor.
Yeah, Axelson got hit, and Deeds was like, fuck. Well, that's That's a good, well-placed one.
Yeah.
But if you're just doing it to be stupid, then...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But...
That was the first time in my life I was okay with that word.
Yeah.
I was like, that was a really well-placed fuck.
Yeah.
Listen to those next... Let me read the next lines when you scroll to
Go
them.
Go for it.
Well, you have to scroll to them because you moved it. Up, 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 up.
Right. Where is this line?
The next part right here.
Why don't you just say the line?
Because I couldn't remember it. Profound aesthetic beauty or shaded sensory corruption.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's Michelangelo's David versus the porn picture.
Yep.
And I actually think that distinction is valid. I think that's a very valid distinction, but it's incredibly...
Oh, I love the way this guy writes.
Yeah.
Perceptions shattered, splintering, mirroring, in deft taints, diluted, tainted, spelt out in impaired color, degenerating to paint, not a pretty picture.
Right. So it's like, okay, so like you got corrupted by the art, and now you're starting to make art about the corruption that you experienced from the art that you experienced.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. But it puts the... works of heart bleeding dark black. You know, there it is again. Like, he's recognizing that dark art comes from dark hearts. Mm-hmm. Or what Jesus would say, from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you're not gonna get, you know, pretty nice pictures out of people who are dark hearted. Which, of course, not a lot of people really have the understanding that their hearts are dark.
Yeah.
Most people don't believe they have a dark heart. Like, you know, the original, it's a very fascinating, I talk about it all the time, original sin to me is the most easiest demonstrable Christian doctrine ever, but it is also the one that's almost resisted the most, simultaneously.
Yeah.
So the idea that we have a dark side and that we're dark sinners and in need of redemption, people are angry at that idea, but at the same time, it's demonstrated over and over again.
I know, yeah.
So when I bring up things like the purge, where I say, you know, the purge, where people robbing the Walmart to feed their homeless neighbor, people always say, that's a movie, Vin! I'm like, right.
Yeah.
Right, but the movie is a work of art, and it's reflecting something.
Right.
It's reflecting certain assumptions about human nature. Mm-hmm. Good Lord. So I think there's a ton of self-awareness here, because he's saying that what's coming out of him is dark, but because his heart is dark.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's good stuff. Musically, these guys, I like songs that are like heavy right at the beginning, because I'm always surprised. I'm like,
surprised that you like that.
I love that stuff. There are very few metal songs that are like heavy right out the gate.
Yeah.
Usually there's some sort of build up.
Yeah.
Something or whatever. Mm. But this one was just like right out the gate, bang, we're going for it. And I thought that was, I like that. I really, really like that. You, on the other hand, you don't like songs like that, right?
No.
No.
And it might be just, you know, like I've said before, it might be just like a phase of my life where I already feel like everything's a bit chaotic. So like that is like, whoa, okay, that's no.
Right.
That's right. Over the top.
Right. All right, what do you give it?
I loved it lyrically. I think I'm going to go... Oh, gosh. I feel like... I did not like the vocals, though. Like, let me make that clear. I did not like the vocals. I guess an 8.3.
Let me be clear. I felt like the vocals were okay. I mean, it seemed to me to be run-of-the-mill death vocals. Really didn't do anything. Some of the instrumentation was kind of sludgy, and I had to really listen to get the rhythm of the heaviness, but once I did, I really enjoyed it. But then there were other parts where the harmonies were like...
Instrumentation I loved.
Really, like, really amazing, like, mm-hmm. old school type harmonies. So that was kind of confusing in a good way for me. I'm like, whoa, these guys got something going on here. So I'm going to give it, what'd you give it?
8.3.
Nah, I've got to give it a 8.8. I'll push it over. All right. Good job, Carcass. Colin Richardson, I guess, is the name of the guy. And the F, was it the F Extreme Underground? Shout out to Extreme Underground.
The EU.
The EU. I wonder if Peter's in that one. Extreme Underground.
Who knows?
All right. Vin out.
Story out.
Don't. Degeneration.